Father, thank you for this beautiful day, and I pray you bless us in our time together. Thank you for your great love and your everlasting love for each one of us and your matchless grace that is poured out without measure. Bless us this day and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You have your Bibles, I trust? Let's go to Micah chapter 7. Micah chapter 7, verses 18, 19, and 20. It says, who is a God like unto you, unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity and passes by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighted in mercy. Would you love a friend like that? He delighted to show mercy on us. What a friend that we have. What a friend that we need to stay close to on a day-to-day basis. It says, he will turn again and he will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities and that will cast our sins into the depths of the sea. You know, I love stories, and stories seem to stick in my mind. And the stories that you don't need to write down, you remember them pretty well. There was an old gentleman, and he was sitting in the rocking chair and he was reading the Bible. It's a good thing to do, right? And he was reading this very text, and his young son was there with his other buddies, and they were philosophizing and talking about things. And then the old man shouted out, amen. And the boys didn't pay no attention. He kept reading, and now all of a sudden he said, amen. And the son couldn't take it any longer. He grabbed the Bible out of his father's hands, and he said, here, take this, read this. And he gave his dad an atlas to read. So after a little while, the father was reading the atlas, and he said, amen. He read it so far in the atlas again, he said, amen. The son couldn't take it. He said, dad, what are you saying amen about? You're reading an atlas. Well, the father said, I was reading in the Bible just a few moments ago that he casts all my sins into the depths of the sea, and I read here in the atlas that there are some places where they have never found the bottom. And to know that my sins are down there. Amen. I love that story, don't you? Jesus buries our sins in the depths of the sea. What a Savior we have. What a Savior we have. One that has done so much for each one of us. And one that we need to turn our eyes upon day by day. If we look at him more, I think we'll see each other's faults less. Don't you? Now you can do an amen louder than that, Ron. If we look at Jesus more, we'll look at each other's faults less. God wants us to look up. The book tells me that my redemption draweth nigh. Amen? Jesus is soon going to come back. And he's coming back on this earth for a people that love him supremely. Amen? We're going to look today a little bit at some very familiar texts that you've probably read and I've probably read a number of times. But let's take our time today as we go over these in Luke chapter 23. We're going to look at what the thief found. He didn't have to steal it this time, right? Amen? He found it. When it didn't look like it could be found, he found it. You understand what I'm saying? When it didn't look like there was any hope, he found hope. He found it. And you and I, we need to find it every day. You with me? We need to find what that thief found every single day that we walk this planet. Because every day, Sister White tells us that every day we need a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit. So let's look at the conversation between these two fellows on the cross. Then we'll look at the thief who looked at Jesus and what he said to Jesus. Then we'll look at Jesus' response to the thief. And then we'll look at, have you found what the thief found? Amen? That's what we need to find. Because what he found is what's most important. What we think is important in this planet is not important at all. If I have Jesus Christ, I have everything I need to make me happy. If I have Him as my personal Lord and Savior, I have it all. I don't need riches on this earth. I've got it. I'm rich beyond all measure. I have the treasure that's worth giving up everything for. So let's look at what the thief found. Let's read Luke 23, verse 39, shall we? Jesus has made a change in our life by His grace, and that thief was changed through an encounter with Jesus Christ. And I remember the words of a little song that says, when you have an encounter with Jesus, when you have an encounter with God, life takes on new meaning when you have an encounter with God. Living and loving each other, loving and serving our God. Oh, what a change, what a difference when you have an encounter with God. And that's what we need day by day. We need a divine encounter with the living Christ. So let's read verse 39 of chapter 23 of Luke. And see what Dr. Luke has to say. And one of the malefactors which was hung railed on Him, saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. So you picture the conversation in your mind. You picture the scene. You see these two fellows looking at each other, and they're railing back and forth on Jesus. They say, if, what's that word? If causes doubt, doesn't it? If you are, that's what Satan said to him in the wilderness, remember? If you are. But we don't hear no word from Jesus, do we? Remember what we read in Isaiah? He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before shearers is dumb, so He opened. We will never see. We will never see anyone as humble, as patient, as loving, as kind as Jesus. He is our example. He is where my riveting focus needs to be. I need to turn my eyes upon Jesus. And it says, but the other answered, verse 40, rebuked him. So you picture the scene, the two thieves are talking back and forth, and one looks to the other and they're railing on Jesus, and the other thief says, now wait a minute. He's looking at this thief and he's saying, now wait a minute. We're in this spot because we deserve to be here. But this man has done nothing amiss. This man has done nothing to deserve death. Now, how many of us here today deserve death? We all deserve death, don't we? But aren't you thankful that Jesus doesn't give us what we deserve? I'm thankful for that. Let me just read a quote from Desire of Ages. Page 25 from Desire of Ages says, Christ was treated as we deserve, that we might be treated as He deserves. He was condemned for our sins in which He had no share. He suffered the death which was ours, that we might receive the life which was His. Isn't that beautiful? What an exchange. And the thief stopped his buddy and he said, now let's wait a minute. We're here because we have done wrong. And then something happened to this thief. And first of all, I want to notice, it doesn't say in the scripture, but I believe the thief looked at Jesus. Don't you? He looked at Him. And that look softened that thief's heart. And he saw, even though Jesus had the crown of thorns with the blood dripping down, the spear wound in his side and nail prints in his hand and his feet, he looked at Jesus and he saw something different than all the others. And that look changed his heart. That look changed his direction. He saw redemption in Jesus. Amen? He saw someone who could help him. Did he look like someone who could help him? The thief saw beyond that day. Because the text tells us The thief knew something the others didn't know. So it tells us that the Holy Spirit was working on the heart of that thief. The power of the Holy Spirit worked on his heart and showed him the things to come. That power is still available today. Amen? I want to reiterate that point that the thief looked at Christ. We live in a world today where our focus is here and our focus is everywhere. We need to look to Jesus. He is the only one that can help us. Acts tells us there's no other name given whereby we must be saved. We need to look to him. Isaiah 45, 22. Let's turn there for a second. Isaiah 45 and verse 22. In my Bible, the first three words says, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. For I am the Lord, and there is none else. So it starts with a look. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, everyone that looked on it shall be saved. We need to look to Christ more than we do. After he looked, what does it say? And he said unto Jesus, what's the first word? What did he call Jesus? He called him Lord. Now, if someone is my Lord, he's the boss, isn't he? I have a landlord. Not my house. The landlord owns it, right? The landlord tells me he's the boss. Jesus is my Savior and your Savior. Amen? But the question comes to us all, is Jesus the Lord of my life? Does he call the shots? And the thief said, Lord. So he had a heart changed. His life before is gone. And he had a new direction. And I believe if he could have came down from that cross, he would have given Jesus his total service. Don't you? His life was in Jesus' hands. He said, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. And he surrendered himself to Jesus right there. He called him Lord. Again, I ask the question to myself and to each one of us. Is Jesus your Lord? And then he said something. The next two words tells us, remember me. That's not a selfish prayer. Don't you want God to remember you? We sing that precious song, while on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. In all the people on this planet, Lord, remember me. Remember me. Remember what I'm going through. Remember how much I love you. And as he looked at Jesus in his state, as I said, he saw something different. And we need day by day to continue to look at him and to continue to look at him. And I believe, I'm certain, that our lives will be changed. By beholding, we become changed. And if we behold the filth and the garbage of this planet, we will be destroyed with the filth and the garbage of this planet. But if we behold Christ, if we walk with him day by day, he will guide us safely to that land that is fairer than day. God wants to see each one of us in his kingdom. And God wants each one of us to make a decision like the thief made. To accept Jesus, not only as Savior, but accept him as Lord of their life. Remember me. You think Jesus will hear a prayer like that? He will. Then he goes on to say, the thief is not still making his confession. He says, remember me when. I like that word, don't you? Not if, not perhaps, not maybe, but when you come into your kingdom. Did Jesus look like he could have a kingdom? How did the thief know? The Holy Spirit convicted his heart. Jesus looked And he was going into a tomb, not a kingdom. But the thief saw something. He saw King Jesus. Amen? He knew that this was not the end for the man in the center. He knew that he was coming back someday. He knew that there was a resurrection. What hope buoyed up this thief? What hope kept him going? And it's that blessed hope that keeps us going. That one day soon, King Jesus is going to come back. And he's going to set up the kingdom that the thief talked about. And I want to ask Jesus to remember me. And I pray that you want to ask Jesus to remember you. Because that day is not far off. That day when he sets up that kingdom according to prophecy, and we are people of prophecy, but according to prophecy, is not that far off. But he said, remember me when thou cometh into thy kingdom. Now up until this point, Jesus never said anything, right? How do you think must have been going on in the heart of Christ, hearing this confession coming from this thief? It must have buoyed up his spirits there on the cross. That someone at the last stage of his life would reach out for salvation. It must have done something to the heart of Jesus. And when we see people grasping the things of God, it does something to us. To see someone coming to know Jesus and going down in the waters of baptism, it does something to my soul. And Jesus' spirit must have been revived. Because that's why he came, to give his life a ransom for many. And then Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, today, come. Amen? Because Jesus didn't go to heaven that day. Jesus went into the tomb. But Jesus said to that thief, and if I get a promise from Christ, I can stake my life on it. It comes from Jesus. And if he gives you a promise and me a promise, I can take that to the bank. He promised. He made a promise to that thief that today when I don't look like I can save anybody. He didn't, did he? He didn't look like he could do a thing. Jesus said, today when it looks impossible, I give you this promise. You will be with me when I set up that kingdom. And today, if we reach out by faith and ask Jesus to remember us, when he comes in his kingdom, he will say, you will be with me in paradise. I want to be with him, don't you? He's done so much for each one of us. Yes, we've messed up the page. Amen? Every single one of us sitting here and standing up here have blown it. We've messed up the slate. But you remember those old slates way, way back? You wash them right off and you don't even know it's there. And that's what Jesus does for us. He washes that slate clean and we stand before him as if we had never sinned. Isn't that powerful? We stand before him clean. We've repented. We put the past behind and we move on in faith. Pressing toward that mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Today, I make you a promise. If the thief could have leaped, he would have leapt for joy. But his heart was leaping for joy. Because he found something not only worth living for, but he found something worth dying for. He found Jesus. And he gave his life to him. I remember Pastor Doug Batchelor talking about these three crosses. He said one man died in sin, one died to sin, and one died for sin. I thought that was pretty good. I was thinking, I could be wrong, but I was thinking, remember where it says in Matthew, where one was on the right and one was on the left? I was thinking that the one on the right was the one accepted him. because the sheep were on the right. But I remember, you know, another story that sticks with me dealing with this same theme of serving the Lord forever. And I'm sure if that thief had of come down off that cross and gave in his service to the Lord, he would have made a great evangelist. Amen? Kenneth Cox told a story about Big Jim. I don't know if you heard that story, but it's a beautiful story. Big Jim was a slave. He had muscles on top of muscles. And he was on the auction block. And Big Jim had made up his mind that he wasn't going to work anymore. I'm not going to do it. He's had enough of being a slave. Anyway, the price for Big Jim went up and up and up. And Jim kept shouting out to the people, "I'm not going to work. I'm not going to work." Well, the price went up to an astronomical price where slaves would usually be sold by now. The plantation owner took Jim. Jim kept shouting out at him, "I'm not going to work. I'm not going to work." The plantation owner rode along in his wagon, and he took Jim out to the plantation. And there was a lovely little cabin with curtains on the window. Beautiful looking place. Jim said, "I'm not going to work." The plantation owner looked at Jim. And he said, "Jim, I bought you to set you free." Jim was dumbfounded. Free? He didn't know what it was like to be free. He looked at the plantation owner and he said, "I'll serve you the rest of my life. Because no one ever loved me like you," Jim said. And I'm sure that thief felt the same way in his heart when he looked at Jesus. "No one ever loved me like you." And as we look at Christ today and every day, we will see that no one ever loved us like Jesus. And I want to serve him the rest of my days. Don't you? Let's pause for a moment. Father, we thank you for your great love. It is a love that surpasses anything that this world can ever give. Father, we all lead busy lives. There's this meeting and that meeting. There's this to go to. That we have to be here and there and everywhere. But Father, help us to slow down. Help us to turn our eyes upon Jesus. To look full in his wonderful face. And the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. The thief looked at Christ. And he found that Christ loved him completely. He found that Christ was able to change his heart. And he fell asleep in Jesus with the hope of the blessed resurrection. Father, help us each one as we go through our life to put first things first. To put things in perspective, because Jesus is coming. Surely as what we just read, the thief knew it. The thief found the answer. He found the Lord. And I pray you help us each one, Lord, to dig into your holy word as we have never dug before, to find the answers that we need, to find the Savior that the book presents. Thank you for your great love to us. In Jesus' name, amen.